Psalms, and we left off in Psalm 113 last week. Brings us to Psalm 114. Oh, the children are going to be dismissed. Praise the Lord. And again, we're just going to look at a block of Psalms briefly and then spend some more time in one of them. Psalm 114 is a psalm really written to praise the Lord for His deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt. For and of their deliverance. If you look in verse 8, Psalm 114, recalling or recollecting what God did in the wilderness, who turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters. That's an encouragement or hope for the hard-hearted, you know, that the Lord can move and soften and change. Psalm 115 is a psalm really to recognize God and acknowledge Him, and to Him alone, be the glory. He deserves the glory. Psalm 116, we're going to look at it closer this morning, is a psalm about loving God for all that He's done for us in response to what He's done. We're to love the Lord. Psalm 117, the shortest chapter in the Bible, really about praising the Lord. Everybody, praise the Lord. Gentiles, all you people, laud Him or praise Him. Psalm 118, really an interesting psalm. Really begins with, trusting God rather than man. It's about His loving kindness. Look in verse 8, Psalm 118. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Trusting Him. Truly trusting Him. Then it changes, shifts gears in the psalm. And it's a strong messianic psalm about Jesus. And about the day that, the appointed day that Jesus would come, or the Messiah would come to Israel. This is the day that the Lord has made, that scripture, where it comes from and what it means. Really speaks about the day the Lord came, Palm Sunday, the very day that the Lord, the very first day that the Lord accepted public worship, acknowledgement of who He was. Publicly. But in that passage, look in verse 21, chapter, or Psalm 118. I will praise You, for You have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, mentioned over and over again in the New Testament, referring to Jesus. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. When Jesus made His triumphant entry, they laid palm branches at His feet in their outer clothes. He was riding into Jerusalem on that donkey. They said, Hosanna, Hosanna, actually quoting the scripture, save now, Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Acknowledging the very day, the appointed day of the arrival of Jesus, quoted from Psalm 118, verse 27. God is the Lord, and He has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Psalm 118. Thank you. And then Psalm 116 for this morning. I will love the Lord . One of my favorite psalms. Notice in verse 1, Psalm 116, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications. I love the Lord. Loving Him is, our primary, most important aspect of our faith is to love the Lord. You remember the man that came to Jesus and said, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, that you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart and mind, soul and strength. For in this, all the commandments are fulfilled. But loving Him is the greatest commandment. There's important aspects to our faith. I was thinking about, being in His will. That's an important aspect. We need to know, or we should want to know, if we're in His will. Knowing His plan for our life, that's an important aspect of our faith. Being in the midst of trying to seek Him and understand what His plan is for my life. That's an important aspect of our faith. I always tell people, the safest place to be in is in a current active faith with Jesus Christ. That's the only safe place. That means you're currently right with Him. You're on speaking terms with Him. That you're, not turning your back on Him. That there's nothing in your life that grieves Him. That's an important aspect of our faith. To be in a current, active faith with Him. We're to seek Him. The Bible tells us we're to be right with Him. For if we're in our flesh, we cannot please Him, the Bible says. But the most important, primary aspect of our faith is to love Him. I will love the Lord, the psalmist says, because He has heard me. It supersedes and it includes all the other aspects of our faith, His will. If I love Him and I'm loving Him, I'm in the right relationship with Him. I'm not grieving Him. I am honoring Him. I am worshiping Him. I am in His will. Primary response to love the Lord. Notice in Psalm 116, we're to love the Lord because, or I love the Lord because, or, Ruthie and I used to play games when we were younger. I said, Ruthie, I love you. Why? Because why? because why? And he answers that, because why? Why do I love the Lord? Or the psalmist answers, I love the Lord because He hears me. Interesting, the description he uses, He inclines His ear to me. It's not like just because I'm talking, He listens and hears because He's, almighty and He's omnipotent and He can hear everything. But He's zeroing in on me. That's what the psalmist is saying. He hears me because He's inclining His ear to me. Maybe in a group of people and there's distractions and there's noise and you kind of zero in on somebody when they're talking. The psalmist is saying, He hears me, He inclines His ear to me, He really is tuned in to me. That's why I love Him. See, I think I know what's best for me. Sometimes I'll pray. And I'll ask for things based upon what I think. But deep in my heart, I can't articulate so often. I can't express what's in my heart. But He knows what's in my heart. He tunes in. He's listening to my heart. He knows me, the real me, not the fake me, the image of me. Sometimes I'll talk to Him, and I'm trying to convince Him. What I think, how I see things, what I want. I'm so far off. In truth, He knows my heart. He knows us. That's what the psalmist is saying. He hears our heart. He's in tune with us. I love the Lord He knows our heart. You know, you think of, you know, some parents, they don't even hear. You talk to them and they don't even hear you. But He's inclining His ear to hear. He understands what's our true heart cry, what's in our heart. More than just listens, He's tuned in. And at a deeper level, He hears us. You know, He listens, He's tuned in spiritually. The real us that transcends this world, this life, what He's molding and shaping for eternity is what He's tuned into. He hears me. He hears you. He's got His ear inclined to us, the psalmist says. I love the Lord. He knows me. He's in tune with me. And no one knows me. I mean, no one knows us like the Lord knows us. He loves us. And, you know, there again, every point, you know, that the psalmist makes, I love the Lord because, and he gives us several reasons, but it's all boiled down to, He loves me. He loves me. That's why He's tuned into me. He's tuned into you. And the next reason He loves us, because why, is in verse 5. Notice, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. God is gracious. He gives us stuff we don't deserve. His grace. That's why I love Him. That's why the psalmist loves Him. He's so gracious. Notice, to the extent, at the end of verse 7, he says, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. Not only does He give us stuff, blessings, love, mercy, what we don't deserve, but bountifully. I was thinking about the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son, he's one of them guys that cashed in early, like called J.G. Wentworth. It's my money and I want it now. And he got his settlement and went out and wasted it. Then found himself, you know, in a pig pen at the bottom of the barrel. And he decided to go home. As he came home, he faced his father. He said, I've sinned against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But his father, in response, says, oh, put a ring on his finger. Get the best robe. Put it on him. Bless him. You know, break out the fatted calf. We're going to celebrate. My son's come home. I love him. And he deals bountifully with us, not based upon what we deserve. He gives us blessing. Put sandals on his feet. Put a robe on him. Stop that talk. You're not my son. Grace is another reason. He loves the Lord. He loves us. The next reason we see here in 1:16 is His supervision. You think of supervision, you think of Superman, you know, looking through walls, seeing everything. But that's not what I'm talking about. In verse 6, notice, the Lord preserves the simple. I'm grateful for this. He supervises our life. He overlooks our life. He watches over our life. He preserves the simple. Oh, how many times, you know, I think, I'm not smart enough to know what to do. That's the truth. If I was smart enough, you know, I'd be further along in life. Because I'd know what to do. So often I don't know what to do. But He overrides. He supervises the simple. I was thinking, I was having problems the other day getting one of the training exercises for the, you know, truck drivers on the yard. is a 90-degree alley dock. It's one of the things that, it's the hardest exercise on the dock, you know, that causes most people to fail. And I just couldn't get it. I'm all over the place, you know. I'm backing up and I'm twisted. I'm going one way, going the other. Then the instructors are out there saying, turn right. And they're yelling at us. And half the time what they're telling us isn't right. You know, I say, man, I knew I should have stayed a little more left. So at the end of the day, I said, man, I'm just not getting it. And then a thought occurred to me. I'm going to go to Toys R Us tonight and buy a little truck. And I'm going to play with it on my living room floor. And I'm going to get this drift thing. I'm going to understand it. And I did. I went home, got a little Kenworth, and I put these little tabs of orange vitamin C chewables. They represented the cones, you know. And I got right down there, and I looked at the angle, and I started to get it. I started to get why it was drifting. And then to follow it in, and it started coming, you know. The next day I went to, you know, practice. I nailed 6 docks in a row. Then at the state exam, I got a great, you know, 2-pointer. Outstanding. Then I'm thinking, you know, hey, you guys need to get a toy truck. You know, I started to go take the credit for it. Because after all, I played with it. But the Lord gave me the idea. He preserves the simple. He deserves the credit. He deserves all the glory. You know, it's childish. I got a toy. And they were laughing at me, mocking at me. And, you know, they didn't. I tested out early. I was the first one to test out. Because I was playing with that truck. And I was telling them, you can come over and play with my truck with me. They're like, oh. I guarantee you that some of them went out and bought a truck. But the Lord preserves the simple. Praise the Lord. He loves me. He loves you. Watches over, supersedes. You know, we're to be careful to give him the glory. Look in Psalm 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. Look at verse 3. But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. To give him the glory. He watches over us, over the simple, preserves the simple, watches over us, protects us, inspires us, leads us, guides us. We've got to be careful to give him the glory for it. But from his vantage point, he sits in heaven, he knows everything, he sees all. His supervision, watching over the simple. And the psalmist says, you know, he preserves the simple. That's why I love him. He's watches over me. Watches over you, takes care of us with his oversight. Oh, I love the Lord. The big one in Psalm 116 really is about how the Lord brings victory over death. Psalm 116 is like a favorite for funeral readings. I've read it at least a couple of funerals. As someone told me to, you know, I like reading Psalm 116 at funerals. So I started reading it at funerals, and it brings hope. It's really centered around death. I love the Lord. It's almost like he's coming to a place to meet death, face death. Look at verse 3. Psalm 116, verse 3. The pains of death surrounded me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. You know, when someone faces death, they're on their deathbed or they're in the hospital, or they have a bout, they have a heart attack, or a scare, realize they have cancer. You know, their mortality kicks in. And the realization that it's time to get right with Jesus all of a sudden takes, you know, prominence. And it's kind of like part of his, you know, I love the Lord. He's recounting, facing death, looking back over God's faithfulness, tuning in, kind of preparing, making things right, bringing things in order, facing death. In verse 8, speaks about the deliverance or the victory over death. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. In Romans, the Bible tells us that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Deserving death because of sin, getting a gift of eternal life because of Jesus Christ. To the Corinthians, Paul wrote, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we're all going to face death eventually, some sooner, some later, unless the Lord comes, you know, and raptures us before we cross over. But the reality of death, the truth, the cycle of life, we're all going to die. And the reality of facing death is incentive to get your heart right, to put your things in order, to get serious with Jesus. And he's kind of doing that, you know, putting things in order. I love the Lord. He's been so good to me. He's been tuned in to me all my life. He watches over me. He preserves the simple. How he recounts. But notice in verse 15, Psalm 116, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You know, you think, what does God think about me dying? You know, that word precious means costly, like a rare jewel. He values highly our passing. Why? Because we're going to be with him. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of the saints. Well, God looks at it excitedly. They're coming. He loves us. So, you know, I love the Lord because he loves me. He watches over me. He's looking forward to me being with him. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. Finally, notice verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all these benefits? This stuff is just too good. He's been too good to me. He's forgiven me. He's pardoned me. He's freed me. He loves me. What am I going to do? What shall I do? What shall I render to him? Or what shall I return to him? He follows with a few things here. Look in verse 13. I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. First response. He says, you know, the Lord's been so good. He loves me. I love him. But I will take up the cup of salvation. You know, the Jews at the feast, at the Passover, take the cup up. And it was maybe alluding to this blessing. They would pray, Master, blessed be the Lord, the maker of the world who has created the fruit of the vine. Alluding to taking up the cup of salvation, really engaging in salvation. You know, you remember Jesus at the when he instituted communion, he insisted. He took the cup, gave thanks, blessed it, and gave it to the disciples, said, take, drink, all of you, drink the cup of salvation. You know, the cup of accepting and acknowledging the new covenant, his shed blood for forgiveness of sins. Contrasting the cup that he, you know, had to drink in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, he prayed to the Father, you know, Father, take this cup from me, the cup of judgment. But he offers us the cup of mercy. Take up the cup of salvation. I'll take up the cup of salvation is what I'll do. Rendering. What can I do? What can I return? Engage is his response. take up the cup of salvation. And he says, I'll call upon his name to continue to call upon his name. Really, what it's saying is, I'll continue to ask him for blessings. He'll continue to bless me. I'll continue to ask him to invoke his name. Continue the grace. Continue the protection. Continue your guidance and your preservation over my simpleness. I'll pay my vows. Keep the sacrifices. You know, offer up to him his due. Psalm 116, a funeral favorite, really about loving the Lord for all that he's done, because he hears us, because of what he's given us, his grace. He looks over us, the simple, his victory over death. He's calling us to love him back. In short, let's stand. Praise the Lord. I will love the Lord because he loves me. All he's done for us. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your word. And Lord, for all that you've given us. And Lord, at we do ask, Lord, for Bella and Kobe and Corey, and all of us, all the children in the church and teenagers, young adults, middle-aged, older folks, Lord, that your hand be upon us, that we can look back and look back over your faithfulness and love you because you loved me, you kept your hand upon me, you protected me, you guided me, you know me, you know our heart, you know what's inside our heart, that you're shaping and molding us according to your plan in eternity. Cause us to recognize and acknowledge you, Lord, in your hand. Your spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You communicate to us at a deeper level. And Lord, we ask that you stir us up, that we would respond, that we would love you in return, honor you and give you the glory. Cause us, Lord, to recognize our own shortcomings and failures and insistence on relying upon ourselves. Do work in our hearts, change, Lord. We praise you and thank you. What can we say for all you've done? We just continue to worship you, Lord. We ask that you keep your hand upon us and guide us, strengthen us, and keep us, Lord, close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Now, may we stay close to him. Just like Corey and Kobe and Bella have a whole lifetime to look forward to him. He's faithful, keeping his hand upon us, protecting us. Keeping us close to him. It's his strength. We're in his hand. You know, we sing that song, I'll hold on. He's holding on to us. He's faithful. We're to acknowledge him and give him the glory and the honor, credit, the love. Do stir it up out of our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.